The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone? Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to our bonus live episode of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And they call me Sarah.
And today we will be discussing a theory about Harry Potter. Is Harry Potter a seer?
You're a seer, Harry.
Today we will have our topic of discussion, and then we'll be opening it up to all of you for your input. But before we begin, we have major weekly profit news from Meg's Mousetoes.
We announced the other week that we are having a guest on Swish and Flick. Our first celebrity interview guest is going to be James Payton from the Harry Potter series, who actually played Frank Longbottom in Order of the Phoenix. And he also is in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them as a stand-in for Dan Fogler and Colin Farrell, which is neat. So he's like been on set and like, I'm just excited to interview him. But on top of that, we also wanted to let all of you guys know who may want to subscribe to our podcast that we are going to be interviewing Chris Rankin as well. And I'm like,
so excited.
And who is Chris Rankin for people who don't, yes, like me? Usually don't know who plays
the movie. Percy Weasley. Percy's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. We're going to put all the info out on our social media today. You guys are the first ones to hear it.
Yeah.
So it's confirmed. He's coming on. We're going to be doing a live video podcast for our patrons, which is going to be super fun. They can ask him questions while we're talking to him about Percy's character arc, which I have to say, we were super not fans of Percy Weasley.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, I'm just saying at first you weren't really.
I'm just saying that I kind of.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
Helped.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Children.
So then a couple years ago, we went to the MuggleNet live event down in Orlando, and Chris Rankin was there, and he talked about his character arc, his like character of Percy. He totally changed all of our minds. We were like, oh my God, we just love him so much. He's the best character. I mean, not really like the best, but you know, a good one. So, but I'm excited to like actually talk to him kind of face to face through Skype, which is going to be super fun. Yes. And then like let the listeners get involved in it too. So
patrons
look out
get
for that.
To view that, correct?
Yeah, it's going to be a video, like a YouTube live video for patrons, and it's going to happen in September. So be on the lookout for like details on that. But we always do a weekly profit in our episodes. So even though we're live right now, we felt that we had to share some fun info with you guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Katie, we usually don't do this.
I know. Well, before I do it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how we got started for anybody who doesn't know. For anybody who does know, stick around, take a nap. I don't know. but before I get into it, do we each want to do a little bit of a bio of ourselves?
Sure. Yeah.
Can do.
Go in our actual order.
Would you like to start with me?
Yes.
Okay, so my name is Tiffany O'Malley. By day, I am a first grade teacher in Cleveland, and I have a lovely husband and a daughter who is 13 months old. She's the coolest. She is called Lady Supreme, of course. She rules the roost. I also have an awesome dog named Fozzie Bear, and he is a chocolate labradoodle. You'll often hear him on some episodes because we do the recording at my house in my basement, dubbed the Swish Lair. But podcasting started as a hobby, and then it turned into a hobby that turned into a job, but it's a job that doesn't feel like a job. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
podcasting, it just comes naturally to me. I've fallen in love with it like I have fallen in love with education, and I love to spread the love of Harry Potter and get a younger generation involved, because there's so many lessons that we can learn from Harry Potter. And it's not just about reading, but it's about who you are as a person and who you grow to be, the lessons that are within the series that I love so much. So that's me.
Yeah. My name is Megan Petrus. I am the Slytherin host of the podcast. I am a graphic designer by day, podcaster, editor, vlogger by night. I love to do creative things. And sometimes when you're a graphic designer, you get into a position that isn't necessarily like super duper creative, but it is a good job and it is what it is. So like I just wanted to do something else that I could take things that I love and apply graphic design to them. So this turned into obviously like so much more than a hobby, which is amazing. But Katie and I are married, and both of us are graphic designers. We attended Kent State. Woohoo! Go Flashes! So we graduated from VCD at Kent. We do graphic design on the side as well as like our normal 9-to-5 jobs and podcasting. Probably more hours than I'm at work.
It's just so fun.
It's so fun. And we do all of the design for the podcast, all of the merchandise, all like the logo, the flyers, the posters, everything is mine and Katie's like little child that we designed. So yeah.
Yeah. My turn.
Yeah, go for it.
Hi, I'm Katie Petrus. I'm the Hufflepuff host. I am a self-proclaimed cat lady, snack enthusiast.
Real puff.
Real puff. True blue. True yellow? True yellow.
I'm true blue.
Right. As Meg said, I'm also a graphic designer by day, and then by night, vlogging, podcasting, editing, like anything. I don't know.
We just love making content.
Yeah, I just love making
content
stuff.
Creators.
So podcasting to me has found a very close place to my heart, because my favorite line to say is, before I did this 2 years ago, I couldn't order a pizza over the phone. And now I'm in front of a microphone in front of all these people talking live, and it's crazy.
And doing amazing, might I add.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Go, Katie.
Don't make me cry, Katie. Up here, all right?
She'll never forgive any of you.
You have sunglasses on. You're good.
True.
I'll still probably cry if she
I'm
starts
I'm the only
crying.
One without sunglasses. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's been a crazy ride, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but I'll turn it over to Sarah.
All right. So I'm Sarah. I'm actually Tiffany's sister-in-law. So the man that she's married to that she claims is so great is my brother. So it depends on the day if I actually like him. And like she said, her daughter does rule the roost, and so does her dog, because I love him too. I will move from a couch to let him sit on it, and I'll sit on the floor. That's how much I love him. And then Tiffany or Megan and I went to high school together, so that's how we met. And then I met, obviously, Katie through Megan. And
best thing that ever happened to you.
What?
Best thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. And this whole thing kind of started, like, I wanted to do a reread, and it turned into a podcast. And it had been something that I had wanted to do in the back of my head, doing a podcast, because I'm a talker, and I like to talk, obviously.
Whoa.
And it turned into this crazy,
really?
Wild ride that, you know, it's been 2 years, and with Swish, we've been able to meet a bunch of amazing people, and I've even been able to, you know, read the books again and dive deep and remember things. And then I'm, like, always saying that I'm not really a Ravenclaw. And then I have, like, a whole Google Doc trying to make a timeline. So everyone's like, no, you are. Like, no one would do that.
She's definitely a Ravenclaw.
100%.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's turned into, like, I work full-time, and then I have this full-time, and then I'm going back to school. So my life is going to be very, very busy. But, I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. Because, I mean, being able to hang out with us, because we're, our podcast isn't the most, you know, cut and dry, let's just talk about Harry Potter. We're four women that love to have fun and love to talk about Harry Potter. And the only difference is we put microphones in front of our faces and do this. And so then you get to hear it and you get to be a part of our friendship and just four friends hanging out. So
we get silly sometimes, basically, is what she's saying.
And
we laugh a lot.
Sometimes it's pretty much all the time. And I'm the resident joker. I also cry a lot.
And then laugh when you cry.
Yeah. Like, I like to say I'm not a crier. I am. 1,000%. Yeah.
I don't know why you say that.
I think I just don't like to cry. So then I say that, and then I'll cry. We went to see Cursed Child, which I didn't think I was going to like. And I cried the entire however many hours those two plays are together.
It's a long play. That's a lot of tears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So true. Okay. Yep. Katie, go ahead and talk more about us.
A little bit of how we started. So, obviously, Sarah and Tiffany knew each other. We all knew each other, but we weren't as close, aside from me and Meg, you know, because we're married.
We should probably her a little bit.
But Sarah and Tiffany had come up with the idea to start a book club. Harry Potter, yes.
Oh, no, go ahead, sorry. We do that a lot, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's actually my idea, but thank you.
Sorry. So then we're like, well, we want in on it. So then we decided, finally picked a time.
I was going to tell you that we had dinner, remember?
Yes.
We had dinner for my birthday.
With her roommate, and the poor guy had to listen to us talk about Harry Potter the entire time.
Shout out to him. He's over at our booth right now.
Yeah. What up, Ruts?
Yeah.
Star.
Like, did not, I don't even know if he, did he complain after you guys left?
No.
Yeah.
He just
It was like at least 2.5 hours
literally talked about Voldemort for 2.5 hours.
And yeah, Bellatrix,
Didn't you text me and be like, listen, you know Deathly Hallows the best. What happened with blah, blah, blah?
So, we were getting dinner. Sorry, go ahead.
Can I speak?
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so we got dinner, and then we told Sarah, we're like, we want in on this. Yeah. So then it's all cool. We decided to pick a date. We picked a date. We sat down. We're like, okay, we're going to talk about Sorcerer's Stone.
Well, we're going to talk about the first two. So Sorcerer's Stone and, we're
gonna talk
and
about
Chambers.
The first two.
And we decided, sorry that I'm interrupting you. This happens a lot. Sorry, Katie.
It's okay.
We decided that it was the 20th anniversary? It was at least was an anniversary of the first book.
Yeah.
So June 22nd was, we had this big feast. Megan and I are like the cooks of the group, so my brother made something, I believe. Did he?
He made like the turkey or chicken, didn't he?
I know
he
did for another party.
I don't know.
We had like a Harry Potter feast in the four of us, and we already knew that we were all separate houses. So we got together and we talked about the first book. And so that's really Swish's birthday. And it's also Alana's birthday, which is my niece. So it's like perfect. But go on, sorry.
So we were supposed to discuss book one and two. After 2.5 hours, we weren't even through book one.
Yeah,
right.
So we're like, Sarah was like, why don't we, I don't know where this came from, why don't we start a podcast? And we're like, what? And especially me, I'm like, oh, God, anxious. I can't do that. I don't think so. But then we talked
she
about
sort
it
of
more.
Had a mini, like, anxiety attack, like, what?
Yeah.
What? Talking to a microphone?
Shout out to Ezra, who's Tiffany's friend.
Yes.
Now all of our friends. He helped us set up.
It was like within 2 weeks.
It was so quick.
It was super fast.
We bought all the equipment, split it up.
We bought all the equipment because he had podcasts at that, or he still has podcasts. And so
he told us what to buy.
Yes.
Yep.
So at the Kent that year, it was called Potterfest. So now it's the Wizardly World. So they had a booth. They've had a booth, I believe, every year, right?
Every year, yeah.
So we came up, Tiffany's friends came up, and then the next day we recorded our first two episodes.
Yeah, and at that first, or it was actually the second Potterfest, so whenever it was Potterfest, we put a Swish and Flick flyer with every single poster order that we sold that year. So if any of you guys were there, you probably got a Swish and Flick flyer with your poster, which was awesome. We were just trying to promote the heck out of it. And yeah, that whole weekend we just like sat down and recorded, and Ezra helped us edit it and push it out.
eKirk2006. He's over at our booth. We love you, Ezra. I don't know if you can hear me.
And if you're a listener, you've heard him on several episodes. Correct. When Tiffany had maternity leave.
He filled in for Tiffany.
So
he's the real MVP here.
Yeah.
But what all of us have been saying is, like, this isn't just a hobby anymore. Mm-hmm. It's honestly, like, it's a huge part of our life. We've gotten to travel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We've gone to New York. We've gone to
Florida.
Yeah. I mean, we've met so many listeners.
Mm-hmm. We had meetups in London and Edinburgh when Katie and I went over there. We had this massive group of, like, 20 to 25 people meet us in London at this pub, and we were just like, what is going on? Why do these people want to hang out with us? But it was so fun. And
I mean, we've met some of our greatest friends through this podcast, and a lot of them are here today.
It's changed our lives.
Yeah.
100%.
I see so many Swishers out here today, and try not to get emotional.
If you start crying, I will start crying.
Means more than I can express with words that you would take time out to travel to see us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love you.
It blows our mind.
Yeah.
We can't say how much we appreciate it.
Another thing we do on the podcast is on every chapter episode, because, like, once we're done with the book, we do, like, we'll do a movie reread, and we do a difference between the books and the movies. And sometimes we just have bonus episodes if, like, we've recorded something and we just don't have time to get together, since there's four of us and we get very busy.
Or, like, Fantastic Beasts.
Yes. We very much try to have one out every a chapter episode
we
out every weekend.
We have had an episode out every week.
We have.
For almost 2 years right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we do Potter stories. So on our very first episode, we each talked about how we started reading it and how it's changed our lives. And really, the reason we're all friends is because of Harry Potter. Because when Tiffany started dating my brother, first of all, she thought I hated her.
True.
But that's how we got really close.
She gave me a very interesting look when I walked
into her home. I gave her an Alana stare.
Just dead in the eyes.
But that's how we all got really close. So, like, we've gotten to, like, people send us Potter stories all of the time, and we read them. And a lot of times, like, they're so emotional that, like, you know, we've changed their lives. But it's so crazy because, like, they've changed our lives just by doing this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Shall we dive on in?
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about, like, the theory at all, or do you want me to really go over again what a seer is?
Go over what a seer is. Just a little clearer than what I did.
So what we do in our, when we break down a chapter, we do, like, our little thing we had. So Tiffany reads that first thing. We go into a weekly prophet. Katie does a recap. I do a summary of, like, what the chapter is going to be. And then we break it down into, like, quarters. So there's, Tiffany goes first. We do it how we're sitting. So Tiffany, Megan, Katie, and then myself. And I don't know where I was going with that. I just lost my whole train of thought.
When we break down the chapters, we'll, like, try and pull things that we may, that we, you know, that maybe we didn't notice the last, I don't know, 20 times I read Sorcerer's Stone, because
it's amazing.
I read it 20 times or
we
something
We searched
crazy,
the internet, so with what J.K. Rowling does is she's done exhibits, like, where she's pulled things from actual history or, you know, things that, you know, other things. So we try to, like, scour things, and there's some stuff, like, the one time we were talking about boars, I pulled from my own family crest. They have boars on it. So, like, just things like that. I try to make it more interesting, because obviously 90% of the people that have listened to our podcast know what happens in the books. So
we try and pull,
spoilers,
like, you know, things that are maybe obscure that, you know, people may not have noticed.
And we pull things from Pottermore.
Come up with theories of our own. Mm-hmm. And,
and
which
this is one
this
of them.
This is a huge theory that Tiffany, like, drilled into our brains until we believed her.
And with our theory episodes, we do bonus episodes called Felix Files. And those are the ones where we do theories and we break it down. And a lot of times we'll have a guest on there to kind of get their opinion. So we'll break it down and we'll talk about different aspects, and we really try to, like, research it as much as possible, but also bring our own opinions into it.
Okay.
So that whole spiel's over. So what we're going to do today is just give you kind of a snippet of what we do, so we're not going to go crazy in depth with it. And we also want to hear what you guys have to say. So please tell us, because we love hearing other people's perspectives, because a lot of times, sometimes we disagree completely, and then there's sometimes that we all agree. So we like hearing other people's perspectives.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
That's why we talk about it.
So I'm going to tell you what a seer is, according to the internet. Yay, internet. So a seer is a gifted wizard or witch who has the ability to see into the future with their inner eye. Seers predict prophecies, which are then recorded. Oh, you already read this, didn't you?
I didn't read it. I summarized it a bit.
So they are stored in the Hall of Prophecy in the Ministry of Magic's Department of Mysteries. According to Minerva McGonagall, true seers are extremely rare, and she had doubt that Sybil Trelawney can be considered one despite her sporadically accurate predictions, which she had at least, what, 2 to 3? Like, she had a couple that was right, but...
Shout out to her.
Yeah. She's a seer.
She's a seer.
Yeah, a little bit.
She's just quirky.
I don't think... Well, we'll get into it. Yeah. I don't think Harry's a true seer, like, 100%.
Fighting words.
That's all
Tiffany
right.
Tiffany is going to bite your head off.
That's okay.
She's
allowed. I'll bite back.
Gryffindor.
Albus Dumbledore once told Harry that seeing into the future is incredibly difficult because the complexity of every single action and their consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into that centaurs are seers with their own brand of divination, which differs from humans. So we know from the books that they talk about the stars and all of that stuff, and that's how they kind of get their future seeing stuff. So.
Right. That was good.
And then there's some things that that we can pull, like the lexicon. There's a couple Harry Potter articles, but I can't pull them up because I don't have internet access. So
it's totally fine.
But we don't. I mean, we're just kind of grazing the surface.
Yeah,
scratching this itch.
So I perused the internet and I googled the question. I wondered if anybody else had thought, you know, is Harry Potter a seer? So, the information on seers that Sarah read was from the Harry Potter lexicon. And then there was a Stack Exchange article that people were wondering if there is some seer blood within Harry. But first I'm going to kind of pull from the series. That Stack Exchange article brought out different dreams that Harry had. So we're going to go over a few of them and kind of make our own predictions. Hey, okay?
Yeah.
So the first one is, and these are in... no kind of order, we just kind of pulled here. So Harry made the mistake of telling Mr. Dursley about a dream he'd had about a flying motorcycle. His uncle nearly crashed the car from yelling at him. The Dursleys hated to hear about anything, you know, acting out of the normal. And that was from Sorcerer's Stone.
I have a question,
Chapter
though.
2.
But, is it him being a seer just remembering that he rode one when he was, a year and a half?
Well, you have to wonder, did he have that dream? Because he was, when he was a baby, he was brought to Privet Drive on the motorcycle that was flying with Hagrid.
Yeah.
So people are wondering, is that something that...
Like a seer versus just, I remember that?
Right, because he was so young.
You can't remember when you're that young.
Yeah, but people have talked about, because that was a very traumatic day for him.
He remembers, the green light and his mom screaming. To bring it down a little bit.
He's older than Alana is. You know what I mean? So think of how, not to brag, she really is smart. Which I know sounds crazy. But think about it that way. He was a year and a half old.
Okay.
I'm sure there's, again, a very traumatic day for him.
Yes,
so
it was.
He would probably have memories of riding on that hog, you know?
I don't know. Riding on that hog. I don't know. It's just an example. We're throwing this out to you. I'll tell you the one that really pulled me in, though. So there's that one. There's also in Philosopher's Stone or Sorcerer's Stone, when he was younger, Harry dreamed of an unknown relation coming to take him away. Although at the time he had no idea that this dream would come true beyond his wildest imaginings on his 11th birthday. Who forgets about that? Though I truly, when I came across that in the article, I was like, you know, it's just a small detail that I didn't really remember, even though I literally just read it, but, you know. And
wait, he actually said on his 11th birthday he thought that would happen?
No.
That
came true on his 11th birthday.
Got it.
But it's something that he had always wanted to happen. did that mean that he was like seeing that in his dream? You know when you see things in your dreams and then you like maybe see them in real life?
He was willing it into reality.
Yeah. Maybe he was just hoping because he didn't want to live there, which I don't blame him.
I mean, yeah. That could be it. But
it's just kind of weird because like in a weird way, Hagrid is a relation. I mean, not really, but like he's such a father figure to Harry that like he can be viewed as a relation.
I agree.
In a way.
I don't disagree, but I also don't agree.
Are you Switzerland?
And that's fine.
And Katie's always quiet.
What say you, Katie?
I'm absorbing.
What did she say?
I'm absorbing.
She's SpongeBob right now. She's absorbing.
I need some more proof because those do seem straight up possible.
I don't care about these two.
It's coming.
Oh, I know. I'm on board with this with you.
Oh,
don't
I know
worry.
You are.
It took a long time for me to get on board with it because, like, when you started with these, I was like,
You can write them off kind of quickly.
What was that again?
You can. But the thing is like, you can say that, okay, well, that happened because of this and that happened because of this. But this next one that I'm going to read is something that I can't wrap my mind around any other way.
Are you talking about Frankie Baby?
I'm talking about Frankie Baby.
Impress me,
Tiffany. And not the old blue eyes of the chairman of the board.
But Sips for Sadness for Frank.
Frank Bryce.
Frank Bryce.
Sips for Sadness.
Pour it out.
What are you doing?
Here we go. Did you actually? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Pour one out. I'm not going to pour this
Thank
out,
you,
because
Tree
it's really
City
hot.
Coffee.
Yes. Their coffee's very good.
Poor Frank.
Sponsor us.
Honestly.
Poor Frank.
He did nothing wrong.
Nope. He didn't. An unsuspecting victim.
Okay. So if you're not remembering who Frank Bryce is, that's quite all right. We're here to tell you. So Frank Bryce is the muggle in Goblet of Fire, if you remember the way that that book starts out. Doesn't start out with Harry at Privet Drive like we were used to within the series. It starts out in Little Hangleton. Yes.
Did anybody else skip that chapter when they would reread Goblet of Fire?
Who skipped that? Seriously?
Because I did.
Anybody
every time.
Over here? Oh no. Yes. These people are saying no.
Oh, I just couldn't. I couldn't
skip it, but I couldn't ever get through it again. That's why my rereads went through to 4, chapter 1, and then I haven't read the other ones in forever, so this is like the first time all over again for me.
I was like, the Riddle House, next chapter. Okay, Harry wakes up. Here we go.
So many good beats
in that. It is
so important.
I mean, I get that, but as like a 13-year-old, I didn't care.
Whatever.
Well, our lovely Harry Potter recaps what he has seen, and it was a dream. So this is a dream. Take yourself there. Here we go. And this is directly from the book. Harry tried to recall what he had been dreaming about before he had awoken. It seemed so real. There had been two people. He knew one, and he didn't. He concentrated hard, frowning, trying to remember. The dim picture of a darkened room came to him. There had been a snake on a hearth rug, a small man called Peter, nicknamed Wormtail, and a high, cold voice, the voice of Lord Voldemort. Harry felt as though an ice cube had slipped down his stomach at the very thought. He closed his eyes tightly and tried to remember what Voldemort had looked like, but it was impossible. All Harry knew was that at that moment when Voldemort's chair had swung around and he, Harry, had seen what was sitting in it, he had felt a spasm of horror which had awoken him, or had that pain been in his scar? Okay. This is where I was like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Harry's a Horcrux. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah,
you just ruined the entire series for people.
Well.
I mean, it's fine.
Oh.
All right. When you think about this dream, and I'm going to use my hands because I'm getting real passionate here. Harry is not seeing this room or these people through the eyes of Lord Voldemort. He is not seeing this room or these people through the eyes of Nagini. He is seeing it as if he is
there,
a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Am I right?
So the reason why we talked about this, and this is why it convinces me more so, is because when people talk about it and him being a Horcrux, seeing like, oh, it's because of Voldemort, he'd see it through his eyes. Well, if he see it through his eyes, he'd see it from his point of view. Because there's another, at the end of the book, there's another dream that he has in class. And it's the same thing. He sees it from a whole different point of view. So again, you would see it from his eyes if you were seeing it through Voldemort.
Yeah, why would he be like, you know...
I think that this right here is when I was starting to get convinced of this theory. Like, oh, you know, yeah, oh, he's a Horcrux. That's probably why he's seeing all of these things. But then it's like, but again, like, you would think that he would see it through either, if it wasn't Voldemort's eyes, I would think it would be Nagini's eyes, because Nagini is also a Horcrux. Yeah. So, like, maybe he could transfer, you know, from, sounds weird, like, maybe he could, like, transfer from, like, Horcrux to Horcrux or something. And because Nagini is, like, a living Horcrux just like him, there could be a connection there.
Well, and we do know that in Order of the Phoenix, Voldemort knows about this connection now, and he uses that to
Nagini's
trick Harry.
Not a Horcrux yet.
Huh?
Nagini is not a Horcrux yet. Doesn't he use Bertha Jorkin?
No, in Goblet. When
I
Harry
know, in
sees
Goblet. I'm just saying, you can't, you wouldn't, if someone tried to say that, you would be goblet, like, not in Goblet.
Order. I'm sorry.
Not in Goblet.
I meant Order. Did I not
no,
say Order?
No, I'm just saying, with her talking about Nagini.
Right.
Being able to transfer.
Oh.
Yeah, but so like reading it a second.
You were talking about something that we had passed.
I know, but I'm just saying, you wouldn't be able to say that, because...
This is when I just go quiet.
Anyways, this is like stuff
when
we edit.
When we're agreeing, but we're arguing about
what are we
it.
Arguing about?
What
I don't know. The same
about?
Thing. We're agreeing and arguing about it. No, but I mean, in Order of the Phoenix, when Voldemort knows of this connection and he, you know, uses that to his advantage, but it's through his eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to Deathly Hallows on Audible right now, and Harry is feeling the anger, and he literally says that he can, like, feel it in his soul, but Harry is Voldemort when he's having these things. So I know that's the Horcrux connection. This, to me, is not any kind of Horcrux soul connection. This is just Harry singing.
Just Harry being Harry.
Just Harry being Harry, being a seer.
All right, so we have it.
All right, so...
Oh, you know, I try not to say "all right, so," but it just fails horribly every time. So I've just given into it. It's just a thing that we say. All right, so after Harry's first trip on the Hogwarts Express, this is a different potential like seer thing.
Example.
It's not like more. It's this one is more like abstract, I think, as opposed to like where that is like a literal. He's a fly on the wall. This is more like. Well, you'll understand. Hold on. Okay. Let me just read it.
It's from Stack Exchange again.
So after his first trip on the Hogwarts Express, his introduction to the school and the sorting, Harry had a strange dream. He was wearing Quirrell's turban.
Interesting.
Which spoke to him, telling him to transfer into Slytherin. The turban got heavier and heavier and tightened on his head. He saw Malfoy laughing at him.
I don't remember any of this, and this is so amazing.
Who turned into Snape, whose laugh became high and cold. He awoke after a flash of green light. The connections to Voldemort here are obvious. We have the turban speaking to him, obviously, because Voldemort is on the back of Quirrell's head under that turban. So, like, Harry basically figured that out in his dream without... Obviously, he's not going to make that connection, but later on, it would be like, oh, wow, like, I... dreamed that. So bizarre. The high cold laugh, which we know Voldemort has, the flash of green light, which would unfortunately be the memory of his parents or just Voldemort casting Avada Kedavra. And then it's interesting that Malfoy and Snape are connected to Voldemort in the dream, one transforming into the other, because we know later on both of them do become connected to Voldemort. Snape, we know, is the double agent, and then Draco ends up becoming a Death Eater, but then not really being able to follow through. And they are kind of, if you think about
They're intertwined.
Okay, but you yelled at me for spoilers, and now you're saying...
Okay, listen. So, like, we know that... It's interesting, like, how closely connected Draco
and Snape
kind of are with their, like, journey with Voldemort. Because Snape starts out all gung-ho Death Eater, and then all of a sudden flips a switch, and he's a double agent. And then Draco doesn't go as far as Snape, obviously, but he does kind of flip a switch in Deathly Hallows. What?
I just had an idea.
What?
Uh-oh. It's totally not on this topic. But, so, Snape carries out what Draco was supposed to do for Voldemort, right? If that's what Voldemort's saying. Do you think that Malfoy owes Snape a life debt?
Ooh.
Chug a chug a choo.
It's great for the podcast.
I think the train thinks so.
Should we pause?
Were they just trying to edit us?
I don't know. But isn't that an interesting thought?
Yeah.
If you can hear me.
I think, yeah, I mean.
I don't know what you said, because well, I literally
oh, you don't? I said.
Does Malfoy owe Snape a life debt?
Because
Snape saved his life by doing that, because, you know, Voldemort would have just nixed him if he couldn't go through.
But
I mean, he's just going
to. Snape was saving his own life because he did the unbreakable vow.
Well, true.
Which, you know, is unbreakable.
Is it?
You can't break an unbreakable vow.
Yeah, I worked that out for myself.
It's just an interesting thought.
It is. Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. Because it just popped into my head.
It's a good thing to think.
Because I just think of, like, Wormtail and the Silver Hand, like, does he owe him, you know, all that jazz.
But Snape doesn't make it.
What?
Snape doesn't make it, so does it matter?
Make what?
Doesn't
life
survive the battle. Do you get what I'm saying?
So how can he owe life?
I don't know.
So does it matter? Snape dies, so does it matter?
I know, I was joking.
Wait, he does?
Sorry, everybody.
I'm joking.
Well, you can't joke with me because I think you're serious.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it just, I don't think it matters if Snape passes or not, but, like, it just is an interesting thought, like, is Malfoy in Snape's debt?
You can still do something to, like, get rid of that debt even when they're gone. I mean, I can't come up with an example right now.
It's just a thought. Sorry,
Snape and Lily, you off.
What?
Snape kind of owed a debt to Lily and protected her son.
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
Let's get back to the topic.
We should move on. Let's talk about seeing Harry as a seer.
So another cool, like, dream connection with Malfoy is in Goblet of Fire. Harry foreshadows. He has a dream in divination class where an eagle owl flies into a chair, and Voldemort is revealed there. We know that the Malfoy family has an eagle owl, and
We decided it wasn't his eagle owl. It was Moody / Crouch Jr.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
But
Malfoy does have an eagle owl.
That's Malfoy does have an eagle owl.
But
that eagle owl in Goblet of Fire was Crouch messaging about the success.
Saying that his father is no longer with the living either.
Correct.
Yes.
She's a Debbie.
I'm sorry. But typically is how I am.
I have to read things.
Katie's
now?
Turn.
All right. Here comes some more facts. Are you ready? All right. The night before the crucial Quidditch match with Slytherin in his third year, Harry dreamed first that he'd overslept and that his team had had to use Neville instead and had lost. Revisiting this after Harry's problems with his dreams and
Sarah's.
My mind is being blown.
We talked about this already.
I mean, but did we?
Yeah, we did.
Revisiting this after Harry's problems with his dreams, and in particular the lost prophecy, it's interesting that Neville is the chosen substitute, and that the reason Neville had been needed was that Harry had overslept. So this is kind of pointing at the fact that Neville could have been the chosen one and not Harry.
But also you can point out to the fact that he does, like, if it wasn't for Neville, and Nagini, the whole thing, like, it wouldn't have worked out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Neville is the chosen one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think he's cooler than Harry, if I'm being honest.
I love me some Neville.
He's like a true Gryffindor.
True is true.
You know?
Yep.
Not saying that Harry isn't a Gryffindor or anything, but yeah. So basically that's kind of what we do when we go through theories, but we're going to,
Are you going to drop this?
Say it?
Yeah.
Drop
I mean, it's already
so
out
we,
there on
so
the
So we
internet.
Have some more news, and we have also posted, I think just on our Twitter.
I'm not sure, maybe.
But we're going to talk about this theory with another Potter podcast called Potterless in September. So we're really going to dive deep into it. So it's
and
not
he
gonna
has,
be
like, more to add. He has another theory that Ron is a seer.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
So he's going to bring info about Ron being a seer, and we're going to talk more about Harry being a seer and try and, like,
probably
bounce
bring
off
in
each other.
Some cursed child stuff.
Yes.
Definitely the whole Harry is a seer thing, like, gets... For me, it got, like, real, real with Cursed Child, which
correct.
I know a lot of people aren't fans of Cursed Child.
I'll just say this. When it first came out, it's going to hurt you to hear this. I like to spoil things for myself. So when Deathly Hallows came out, my dad had pre-ordered them because I read all the books. Like, my dad and I read them kind of at the same time. And so he had pre-ordered it. I went to go pick it up with my sister and two of our friends. They had to wait in line. I got mine first. And while they were waiting in line, I read the last chapter of Deathly Hallows. I know.
She's the literal worst.
At Barnes & Noble. Because, like, I like get really, really into my books.
That?
Like, to the point where I read Gone Girl on an iPad and almost threw it out the window because I couldn't, like, skip to the end. It wasn't easy to do, so I didn't know how it was going
to
end.
I think it's partially anxiety. Like, you need to, like, calm your anxiety by, like, knowing what the outcome is before you go and find out how it gets there.
I'll be like, okay, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Even though, like, I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? I know, so I can calm myself down. So I read online kind of the plot line of Cursed Child, and I was like, not my cup of tea. And then we started this, and so we started the reread, and so I ordered it online and got it and read up to, like, this one part of the very beginning, and then never picked it up again. And I'd asked our listeners, because we knew we were going to go see it, I go, should I read the play or not? And a lot of people were like, do it. And other people were like, no, just go in fresh. So I didn't read it or anything, and I didn't remember a lot of the stuff that happened because I didn't read every single little detail. My mind was completely changed after watching it. Like, again, I cried. I mean, that literally means nothing when I say I cried, because I will cry at everything. But, like, it was so much better watching it in person.
It's unfortunate how inaccessible it is. Because, like, reading it is just not the same experience. And, like, I understand why a lot of people don't necessarily enjoy it by reading it, because it's a script. It's not a book. You're not meant to understand how everything is supposed to be said, and there's no emotion involved. But, like, whenever you are in that theater and you're watching it be acted out, like, in our opinion, all four of us agree on this, we are like, it completely changed our views on it. So,
and it's expensive to see plays too.
It's expensive and it's far away.
And we were fortunate enough to be able to get them at, like, the 40, like, the cheapest ticket, which was still spending a lot of money.
Well, we waited a year to go.
We waited, like, a year and a half to go. So.
But I mean, honestly, like, if you guys have the opportunity to go, like, it's,
see it.
It's really amazing live. And we pull a lot from it now because seeing it changed our minds. Mm-hmm. So, like, seeing Harry in Cursed Child as well solidified the seer theory to me because it happens then. And a lot of people will come back at us with the whole Harry is a seer theory and be like, well, he's a Horcrux. Like, as soon as it died within him, like, that didn't happen. But then I'm like... But Cursed Child, it happens there, and the Horcrux is definitely dead then. So, like, I don't know. I just,
Stay tuned.
Yes. So, check us out. We're going to be recording with them at the end of September, so we're really going to get in, as we say, deep and sweaty, talking all about this, more so than you saw today, because this is just, what, three examples, and we didn't talk a crazy ton about it.
Right.
Normally, our episodes are, like, super crazy long, so now we're going to have Gilderoy Lockhart go out to the audience. If you guys have any questions, we will literally answer anything. It doesn't even have to be about Harry's a seer.
Within reason.
But, like, it doesn't have to be just about Harry being a seer. If you want,
if we don't know the answer, we'll make something up and make it sound really good.
Yeah, we're no experts. That's also what we say. Because
I
mean, we make mistakes.
My answer will sound great.
I don't remember anything. So,
but does anyone have any questions?
Anybody? Yeah, come on down.
Okay.
Come on down. You're the winner of Asking a Question.
What's your name?
There are those who call me Tim.
What's up, Tim?
Hey, Tim.
Okay. And what is your question? And it is it directed at all of them or one of them?
All of them. Well, first, if I can make a comment, because I've studied Oracle. I've done Oracle workshops with Diana Paxson, the author, who does that work, been to Greece and all that. She says that when the gods want information, they will do they will go to whoever's connected in the loop. So if there's one person who has medical knowledge, and there's one person who's the linguist person, the lit major, they will make this feedback connection between them. So that they can just see what they need to see. Or vice versa, they use that.
I like that
so
a lot.
So the person can get the information they need and actually understand it. Because if you don't have any medical knowledge, I'm sick, what do I need? Like, you see, this stuff comes through viscerally. So you just see, like, this black monster in somebody's stomach that doesn't tell them anything.
That's awesome.
Cool. I like that a lot.
But as far as the question for you guys, you say if you have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'll have the opportunity to go to New York City if I spend about $2,000.
So I know.
There are other things in my life I want to do. And mm-hmm. I was in New York City in April for WrestleCon, but I thought about it, but I just couldn't fit it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
That's another thing, because it's too long.
It's so much time.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing with the play is they have to change the entire theater to make it work. So to make it more accessible, I would love a recording
of the play.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully Broadway.com gets on that one of these days. I know they don't like to do that because they want everybody to see it first.
Yeah.
Right. I just don't know how many theaters are going to change.
But here's my question for you guys. I obviously, like, going to Tokyo for New Japan Pro Wrestling, not in you guys' wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. But, like, on the scale of life events, being like, I can die happy now that I did this, where would you put seeing The Cursed Child?
Oh, jeez.
I would say pretty middle to top for me, at least.
I'm going to go, like, 70%.
Yeah.
Like, 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 being the highest.
Seven?
I mean, if you're a huge Potter fan and you just like to take in all Potter content, I would put it higher. If you're a casual Potter fan, 5, 4. I mean, it really varies person to person. We are Harry Potter fans. So it's oh, we got to do it. We got to do everything Potter. Oh, Harry's name's on it. We want it.
Especially
I'm not that bad, but
to bring it back to home. To our listeners. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
we really wanted to be able to talk about it and
with authority, you know?
Right.
We can't just.
And I mean, actually, once we saw, we did 3 episodes. Or no, we just put it all together, but we talked before and then during between the two parts, like the two
and
plays,
after.
And then the end.
And did like a whole reaction episode for everybody so that you could really see like the growth of our opinions on it from the beginning to the middle to the end.
And if you want to hear me cry, I cried a lot talking about it.
A million times.
But I'm like so excited to get there to talk about it more and break it down on everything. So
yeah, because we'll definitely get to Cursed Child after the last book. We'll do kind of like this with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Any Who's other next? Questions?
There's a guy over there.
Anyone.
All right.
Ask us questions all the time.
Oh, man. Your Patronus
your
is
name?
Amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My name is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
So this is off topic of the Seer.
Sure.
This is about when Voldemort went to recruit the Dementors.
The Dementors?
Mm-hmm.
Dementors. Okay.
So it's well established that Snape was the only Death Eater that could perform the Patronus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What would Voldemort have done if the Dementors said, nah, we're coming after you?
Does Voldemort really have any...
I mean, technically, yes, he's got
I don't think that they affect him. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, you think... Like, think the Dementors with Harry, Ron, and Hermione. Like, they have a lot of happiness in them for the Dementors to feed off of.
Mm.
And Voldemort is so overly obsessed with his one goal, which is immortality.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally all he thinks about and all he cares about, in my opinion, at least. I don't think that he really focuses on those kinds of feelings that normal people have because he is not normal, right? Like... I mean, you've heard the connections of the Death Eaters and Voldemort to, like, Hitler, right? I mean, he's just evil. And I think that the Dementors don't have anything, like, he doesn't have anything, like, of value that they would want to feed off of, in my opinion.
But what would he do? Would he be like, not today, Dementors?
Oh, I got T-Rex arms, but this one's been up. Your question makes me think of whether or not the Dementors would even want to go after Voldemort's soul being in the state that it is.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe
true.
It's like, maybe
do they really
like
want
that? Eating like a grape, you know?
Or maybe they know it'll
like
taste
not
gross.
Fill you.
You know, you don't want to eat something
but
gross.
But like it's in like 7 pieces.
But it is so damaged. I wonder if it's, gosh, is it even detectable that much? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought, but.
Why wouldn't they repel on Harry more than if they like felt his.
But maybe that's just like Harry plus a snack.
He's got Harry's double.
Harry's right? just so cool.
It's like Harry in seconds.
Yeah, Harry plus a grape.
Sir, what have you done? What have you done?
But I feel like if Voldemort was using the Elder Wand, or I feel like it would be powerful enough if he used a different spell to at least get them away
from
him, and then to go ahead and apparate out or fly out, since he's flying in seven now, or was. We're not going to RIP him.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
You're welcome.
All right. Anyone else? All right. I'll get to her and then you. How's that?
Cool.
Hi. I was just curious, with you guys talking about how much you like Cursed Child, I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of it.
That's
fine.
I've
only ever read the book, but I'm just curious because I'm wondering if you still consider it canon after watching the play.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of theories that talk about how if you consider it canon, it kind of rewrites some of the stuff that happens in the original books.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious if you still consider it canon, even though you like it in the play.
Here's my thing with canon or not canon.
With all things, not just Harry Potter.
I'm going to say short answer is yes, all four of us do, but Tiffany can explain more.
Hold on.
I hope that doesn't turn anybody off to us.
I mean, it is what it is. People are allowed to have differing opinions and still
love
one another. Here we go.
I know.
If a creator says that this is canon, whether or not they had a full hand in it or not,
it's canon.
Then I'm going to take that as canon. It's the world they created, and I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
It is not my position to say you're wrong about the thing that you helped create or did create. That's my view on that.
Yeah.
But what we talked about when we talked about, because I, like you, I read it, I thought about it and said,
she argued
hard
with me
pass.
All the time.
Hated it. I really did. And if you listen to those early episodes, you're going to be like, oh, well, you know, Tiffany said she hated it, and now she loves it. Wah. True. I'm allowed to change my opinion based on new facts.
Yeah.
But what we talked about with, like, time-turner things, and you're like, time-turners don't do that. Well, technology changes, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that Megan brought up that really changed my mind, because the time-turner thing really got me, and it's like, time-turners don't work like that. Well, does everything always have to work the same throughout history?
Yeah.
Time has passed. People make new discoveries. People create new things all the time. And who am I to say what can and cannot happen in a wizarding world?
Yeah. Do we still have dial-up internet?
That's what
I'm sure
saying.
Someone somewhere
it's
does.
It's just things
well,
like
sure.
that change. So,
but, you know, it's like technology. That's how I tried to explain it to them. You know, all of the time-turners got destroyed in the Battle of the Department of Mysteries, I think.
Yep.
So all of them got destroyed then, but that does not mean that nobody could ever create one again, in my opinion.
Yes.
So,
but
why not improve upon it?
My wish for listeners is that try it again.
Yeah.
With a new perspective. If you still don't like it, you don't have to like it, right?
Well, and another thing with this podcast, talking about changing our opinions.
Thank you.
We'll have an opinion on something at the beginning, like Snape in particular, who none of us liked, and then we have a very dear friend who convinced us that he's not the worst human in the entire world.
This
so.
Person here.
Right there. Yeah. Shout out to Jess.
All so right. when you learn this about it, you change your views, you know?
All right.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
Good, how are you?
I just want to say one of my favorite characters in Harry Potter is Molly Weasley.
Favorite character?
Yeah.
I love her.
Yes.
Because
awesome.
I used to know someone like that. That I was a friend with, and his mom, really kind of considered me as an adopted son for a short period of time before she passed away. And question. I would like to see The Cursed Child made into a film.
Yeah.
A film?
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
And accessible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's the other one. Have you been to the place in Florida?
The Wizarding World?
The Wizarding World?
Wizarding World in Florida?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. I went there with my wife in 2015, so we had a great time.
It is fantastic.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
Yes. And where can I go to see The Cursed Child play?
Where?
Yes.
It's still in New York City on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And London, which is super far away.
In London.
It
just opened in San Francisco.
Yes.
And next year, or no, maybe this fall. It's either this fall or early next year. It's opening in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So.
So is there anywhere in, other than Toronto, is there anywhere in Ohio I could see it?
Unfortunately,
no.
Not.
I wish.
See, that's why it's just not that accessible to everybody, unfortunately. But
Yeah.
Tirana would be the closest, I think, once it starts there.
Is it on YouTube?
No.
No.
Oh, no, they check
it. They keep it under wraps.
Okay.
Well, but you can get it in a script, like you can read the script.
I have the book. I've read it at home. I just haven't read it.
It's quite different, though.
It's quite different. Yeah. Okay, you just can't get emotions. You know, it's difficult to read a script.
True.
Sure, if you're not a theater person.
Mm-hmm. All right. That does. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I will say while you're walking over there.
What's up?
So Cursed Child, another thing that we love so much about it, that I'm not going to give anything away, hashtag keep the secrets. But when you go and see it, even like a film is a great idea, but there's something that happens there
that
literally punches you in the chest.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
You feel it when you're there. And, like, I don't know how you would recreate that any other way.
Get a really good sound system.
Right.
Yes. Subwoofers.
All right. Here we go.
My name is Lena, and my question is for all of you, and it is, what is your guys' favorite thing about Universal?
About Universal?
Can I talk for like an hour about it?
Don't let her do that. She'll do that because she's been like, she used to like basically live there. Do you want to go in order?
Sure.
Sure.
My favorite thing about the Wizarding World in Universal is when you walk into Diagon Alley, you are in Diagon Alley. And it is truly magical. I walked through and started crying because you literally feel like you are there, you're in it, and it's a feeling you get.
It feels real.
Yes. You know, there's like a feeling real. I associate with like Christmas time. It's like warm, fuzzy in your home. Truly your home.
Yeah.
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 Top that.
Megan's like, how many? I can't pick one
you
thing.
You have to literally one thing and keep it to like 30 seconds.
I got mine.
We're timing you. Ready? And
go.
I have two things.
Oh, my God.
I always do this. I'm sorry. So the first thing is definitely the Forbidden Journey ride. I think that Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, which is the ride inside Hogwarts Castle, is literally the coolest and best theme park attraction ever, period. I absolutely love Disney, but nothing there tops Forbidden Journey, in my opinion.
But you
and anybody who listens
yet.
To the podcasts,
you don't know.
What about Hagrid's?
You haven't ridden it yet.
Forbidden Journey in the castle.
I know, but you might like Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure
better. True. I haven't ridden. We're doing that in 2 weeks, but at this moment in time, Forbidden Journey is the best attraction in any theme park, period, in my opinion. And anybody who listens to the podcast knows how much of a Disney fanatic I am. Love the parks, love everything there, but like Forbidden Journey, the bomb .com. And then second thing, really quick maybe, is so whenever you're over in Hogsmeade, which is the section that has Hogwarts Castle, it's beautiful and it was the first thing that they built. But whenever you're in there, if you, like, turn around and look, you can, like, see the Hulk roller coaster, and you can see the Jurassic World area, and you can see Seuss Landing. So, like, there are moments where you could kind of come out of it, and you're like, oh, I'm in a theme park. But, like Tiffany said, when you're over in Diagon Alley, you literally go through the brick wall into Diagon Alley, and when you are in it, you see nothing else but Diagon Alley. Mm-hmm. And it is the realest thing I have ever, like, experienced. It feels like you are really there. Like, it just completely transports you over to the UK, and you are in London behind the Leaky Cauldron. Like, so legitimate. It's amazing. And
The Dragonspire is super, super hot. So if you can imagine, like, Florida heat and then Dragonfire, yeah.
And then the magic. You can, like, do
swish and flick. You can
do that. You could do magic, and it's amazing. And I'm going to let somebody else talk because I could just say more things.
All right, go. Okay.
Hey, Universal, sponsor us because we love you.
Correct. Sponsor us, please.
So as a graphic designer, I really like all the graphics that are all over Diagon Alley. Mina Lima did all the graphics from movie one all the way on. And I mean,
and Fantastic Beasts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're just plastered everywhere, and they're so well done. And then, two, obviously, the food: butterbeer, all the snacks, all the ice cream.
Don't forget the mutton.
Pumpkin pasties. Yeah.
What's that?
Don't pumpkin forget the juice. Mutton.
Oh yeah. I've tried that once. It's okay.
My turn.
Yeah,
your turn.
So I too, I'm gonna say two things.
You have two.
One,
why did you yell at me?
Well, I'm gonna talk about magic. You talk about three things. So magic. The magic there is so cool that you can, like, go around and do, like, different things if you have an interactive wand. And my second thing, like Katie said, is the food. So I've been to Ireland a couple of times, and like they're like a full Irish is what I call it. It's a full English over there, I think, in at the parks. But
The breakfast,
it's
you
so
mean?
Good. They have, like, the best sausage. They have black and white pudding.
Potatoes.
Which, like, nobody here will eat but me. But, like, it brings me back to, like, being in Ireland and being home. So, like, that's something that I love. And so I get it every time I go. Yeah. I love me some black and white pudding.
Yeah, their food is really
it's
good.
So good.
All right. Does that answer it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Long story short, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. That was louder than I expected.
Yeah, that's pretty loud.
Okay. Yeah, I can. So my question is, do you think that Dumbledore is a seer? Because back in the third book, he stalls when they use the time turning to save Buckby. So do you think he knew? Because he didn't know before. Time is confusing. I don't know how to explain it.
No, I get what you're saying.
That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
That he just kind of gave them like a wink to be like, you know, you can not only save Sirius, but you can also save Buckbeak.
I think
so.
Dumb-
kind of was like,
yeah, Dumbledore is a man of
he knows a lot,
calculated
you know?
Calculations, yes. if yes. you will. And I feel like he knows that certain things can happen in a certain amount of time, and I think he has a lot of trust in Hermione,
and Harry. I'd say the
well,
trio.
And Harry. To getting these things done.
I think Dumbledore is just very aware of everything
yes,
at all
correct.
Times.
Yes. So he's like my mother.
So I'm going to come out and say I don't think that Dumbledore is a seer.
No.
I just think that he is.
He knows way more than we would ever think
yes.
to know.
Right.
You know,
yes.
He takes in every situation, everything.
And he is so calculated and precise with like everything that he knows what the outcome could be. So he wants them to get that outcome, so he kind of pushes it
He's
on
the
them.
The kind of guy that thinks backwards. Think of the outcome that you want, and you figure out how to get there.
I Correct. Think a good way to like say how he is, if you've ever seen the show Psych, how the right. guy like pretends to be a psychic, but is just very, very observant. That's
oh,
how he
she's
is.
Oh, she's into it.
Yeah. So.
He's yeah. Just, okay.
I have pineapple everything.
There we go.
All right, so my name is Julia, and I'm going to start Kent in the fall.
Woo!
Oh, congratulations.
Yes. Awesome.
And I was just reading, I was scrolling through Reddit recently, and someone pointed out that they were wondering why Harry took so long to open the present from Sirius, the two-way mirror, because they were still talking through the fireplace, and it would have been so much easier to just use the mirror, and it would have prevented the whole fiasco at the Ministry of Magic. So I was questioning what your guys' theory was of why he waited so long and why Sirius didn't tell him, just open your gift.
Good question.
I think that has a lot to do with the personality of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And maybe just thinking, like, that's how she wanted it to go. Like, that's how my dad would be like, that's why it's written in the script that way, you know? It
wouldn't be a story.
We've been talking a lot about fate on the pod, though, and things happen for certain reasons, and it's kind of like a give and a take. And we know that two-way mirror is used to great effect later in 7.
Yes.
But I don't know. I kind of feel like it's just like on both their parts, it's a stupid mistake.
Maybe Sirius is like thinking, because he grew up in a house where magic was always a thing. And Harry was very much grew up in a house where like you didn't
wasn't
that was
allowed.
Like not that was like a swear word, like you couldn't say magic.
That was a swear.
Yeah.
A swear.
So maybe he assumed wrongly that like Harry would know that it had magical properties, you know. So he didn't say anything, and then Harry was like, "All right, he gave me a mirror. Cool. Does he want me to check out my hair? Like, I could see my scar. You
Wants
know what
to
I mean?
Make sure I look like James.
Yeah. Like maybe they just didn't. Neither one of them thought to ask the other person, like, you just got me a mirror. Thank you. You know?
I feel like this is kind of one of those questions where, like, unfortunately, the answer just is that is what Joe wanted to happen.
Yeah,
so that's what happened. And, like, I hate going to that answer because, like, I want a legitimate answer for absolutely everything. But, like, there are a handful of things that happen in the series where, like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why does that happen that way? But, like, in reality, the answer is well, it wouldn't have panned out the way that it should have if Joe didn't make it happen that way. Yeah. So that's why it happened that way.
With plot holes and everything, she is a human, and we all make mistakes. So she's
like
even
Goblet
said,
of Fire. There were like, a ton of dates wrong and stuff. And she came out and said that.
I will go back on my calendar and find the date. And I'm like, it's very interesting to me that she had, like, in the middle of the week, she's saying it was a Saturday, but it was a Wednesday in real time life. But again, she's human. She even says,
hashtag
she's like, I don't know.
Ravenclaw.
She goes, dates throw me off. And, you know, there's some things that she just forgot. Which, again, she's human. That's fine. We'll
she
just
always
have to live
has
with
an
it.
Answer, though, when you ask her, doesn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
She's usually when we say, Dear Joe.
Yeah.
Dear Joe,
yes.
why'd you do
Dear
this?
Joe.
Are we ready for the next question?
I'm ready.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Here we go.
My name is Rachel, and I wanted to ask our Ravenclaw representative your opinion on how they change the colors.
Dude, you're going to go all day.
Man.
Get ready.
So,
go
this
for
is,
it.
I mean, it's like a bittersweet thing because I don't buy any merch because it's not the right colors. I don't know if they've ever really said why they did it. So in the movies, it's blue and silver. And then, so all official merchandise is blue and silver. And then I wouldn't call it a mascot. What would you call it? Is
emblem?
In a raven in the stuff, or
right.
yeah, the representative.
It's because it's easy, like, and it's called Ravenclaw, so people just said raven. And
so in the books, it's blue and bronze, and it's an eagle, because, you know, we fly like an eagle. Yeah, I've been waiting to say that. But it's so aggravating that, like, all the official merchandise is the wrong color, so I won't buy it, so it saves me money. But, like, what's great is my sister knits, and so does Megan's mom. So, like, I have a scarf that has the actual colors because they found bronze to go with blue. Her mom made me a blanket with the correct colors. So, like, when I see something that's the right colors, I'm like, yes! Woo-hoo! But I go on a whole gripe on one episode that I was, like, so mad about it.
It was a lot.
That's like a soapbox for Sarah.
Seriously.
So aggravating.
Yeah. But we see your scarf, and you're rocking that blue
and
bronze.
Beautiful.
All right, here we go.
Hi, I'm Josie Peterson, and my question is, like, about finding, like, what house you're in. Because I have, like, I've done some tests and stuff, and I've gotten two, but, like, I just don't know.
What two have you gotten?
Hufflepuff and Gryffindor.
Okay.
Oh, pick Hufflepuff.
Oh, those
no,
are
no, no,
Hufflepuff.
No, no, no.
Those
on,
are very
no.
different, but, like...
Did you do it on Pottermore?
Yeah, but I've done it, like, more than once, just to, like...
We all have.
And I've gotten both.
Okay. Where do you feel like you belong, and what values from those houses do you hold higher within yourself? Like, which do you think is more important and that you value? Do you value the bravery and the chivalry, or do you value
loyalty
and hardworking?
Mm-hmm. Which one do you value more?
I don't know, because, like, they both have great, like...
They do, yes.
They do.
So...
I mean, you might be a classic hat stall.
Yeah.
And in that case,
in
you
which
get
case,
to pick.
Take the sorting the hat would again. Let you choose.
Right. So
you can choose.
It's up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, for example...
I mean, realistically, it's always up to us, because it's what we value.
For example, I took the test the first time, and I tried to answer the questions to get
Gryffindor.
And it put me in Slytherin.
Because she ain't no
Because it knew that I was lying.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Because then again, I did it. And it was like, yeah. And there's this really... If you want to go online, there's this really good... quiz that if you search Pottermore all questions and it's I think it's on, like, not Quora, I don't know, but if it gives you the breakdown of percentages of what house you are based on what questions you answered, so it'll tell you if you're 70% Slytherin and 50% Gryffindor. It doesn't match up to 100 because, like, mm-hmm. some of the questions go towards more than one house.
Yeah.
So, like, you can get 70% Gryffindor and 60% Hufflepuff, but then maybe that helps you decide, oh, hey, I'm actually 10% more Gryffindor, so I'm going to choose that one or something.
Yeah,
but if
really
you Google, that, it's a really, really good quiz, and it really helped. We all took it, and, like, then we could all see, like, our breakdowns, like, our second house. It lets you know, like, the order of what you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want an update, though.
Yeah, I need to know. I'm going to need to know where you're at.
Both are
great
houses.
Yes.
Go,
go, Gryffindor.
Wrong.
I see your red shoes. You belong here.
I don't know. She looks really sweet and cute. She should be a Hufflepuff.
I'm sweet and cute.
All right.
All right.
Oh. Come on, Dobby. What you got?
All right. Here we go.
Okay. Hi, I'm Andy.
Hey. So my question is, there's a lot of content out there that's not official Harry Potter. So is there a favorite thing for yours that isn't Warner Brothers' official book? Like mine would be the Harry Potter musical.
Well done. I think I know what most of us are going to say.
Yes.
1, 2, 3.
Me.
Puffs.
Yes, Puffs in the play.
Puffs is the
good.
Oh my God, it's amazing. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it.
You can get it on Broadway. You can see it on Amazon, correct?
Amazon and iTunes now. They just released it on iTunes. You can buy it like as a download and watch it like
it's
a movie.
So good.
Hilarious.
So funny. Not necessarily for small children sometimes.
Correct.
The one that's for download is like family friendly. Is it? Oh, okay. Sorry.
So Tiffany over here is the very serious person on the podcast, I would say. With, like, she does not and will not watch a Harry Potter musical because she, like, I don't know. I think it's hysterical.
That's probably my second favorite thing behind Puffs, definitely Harry Potter musical.
It's made by fans for fans.
I mean, and Darren, so, Chris.
Yes. And so when I tried to get her to watch Puffs, I was like, I think you're going to like it. And she was just like, nah. By the end of it, she's like, oh my gosh, that was so
good.
It
was so funny.
I was just in stitches sometimes.
Like, it's, have you seen it? Okay,
you
you're going to need to get on there.
But I would say we quote both Puffs and
if you like
a Harry Potter
musical,
musical,
you're going to really like
Puffs.
Yes,
okay. It's really good. It's just not a musical.
Yeah.
So you don't get that part.
Puffs.
For me, I'm a Puff, so I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it's so good.
Third or nothing. You are going to laugh.
So if you guys want to know just like a general little basis of what Puffs is about, it's basically like a movie. Well, it's a play of Harry's years at Hogwarts from the perspective of the Hufflepuffs.
Just like a regular...
What's his name?
Wayne is the lead guy.
And his shirts are so good.
Cedric and like how he is just like a celebrity to the Puffs. And it's so cute. It's so cute.
So if you like that kind of stuff, go watch it. It's very, very good. Yes. Very funny. We're going to go see it again. The three of us are going to New York in like 3 weeks. So.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions?
Bueller.
Awesome. Right down here.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Joshua Lyons.
Hi.
And my question is, out of all four of you, what is your favorite book of the Harry Potter series?
Oh, that's a really good question because we actually took some pictures yesterday holding our favorite books. Yeah. So I can start since we're doing the order thing. My favorite book is Deathly Hallows. I see you.
I didn't know if you were going to say Liar.
No, that's it. I was like, what are you waiting for? I mean, that's pretty much the whole title.
My favorite book is Half-Blood Prince.
Prisoner of Azkaban. That book changed my life.
Yeah. I love Order of the Phoenix.
So wait, one person like Deathly Hallows the best? Are there any more? Thank you. I see you.
Yeah.
All right, any more questions?
Right behind you, there's one
here,
more.
Here, come here. And then I saw you, so I'll get to you.
Hi, I'm Liz.
Hey.
Hi. I was wondering if you think there's a connection between, assuming that Harry is a seer, if there's a connection between that and when he still is a Horcrux, if like those visions of Voldemort are stronger because he's a Horcrux? Because originally I was thinking maybe he's only, maybe like while he's a Horcrux, he still has that seer ability, but you all were saying that he still might be a seer during Cursed Child.
Correct.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Because I haven't read Cursed Child or seen it. But so maybe...
It's
okay.
Thanks.
We'll forgive you.
We forgive you. We still like you.
Oh, thanks. But maybe those visions are stronger while he's a Horcrux.
I think they happen more frequent, especially because Voldemort is among the living.
There's a lot more going on at that time, too, you know?
Yeah, and I think Harry's purpose, right, his end goal is to destroy Voldemort. So I think that while Harry is going through that, like, that's his purpose. Mm-hmm. That's where his mind is.
And so that's where his visions come from.
Does that make sense? Cool. Awesome.
Plus, like, there's no denying that Voldemort was a powerful wizard. So if he's somehow inside your soul or whatever, like, he might be making things stronger.
Right. Terrible. But great.
Oh.
All right, we ready for the next one?
I'm sure. Ready, yes.
Yes. My name is Carly. I was wondering if you think that Dumbledore is more of a hero or a villain in the story.
Ooh. Carly, is it?
Yes.
It depends on who you ask on this stage.
Well, no, I think, maybe Megan would disagree. Here's the thing I want to say about Jo. She writes
great
the imperfect
characters.
Person perfectly.
Yes.
So he's very much, you know, he's got a past. And I want to say, he has a future. Mm.
Does he?
Well, it's everyone does to a point.
Kind
of
a little short.
I mean, I would disagree. He lived 150 years. That's like as long as a turtle and Nemo.
He could have lived a lot longer.
So I would pull it from other fandoms. There's an argument that could be made for both sides, but for me,
for me,
he's a hero.
Okay, simple. Kate.
I don't
Here's the
think...
thing. They're married, so whatever happens here goes home.
You just say no.
No, I don't think he's a villain. I don't know if he's a hero. I think he's a great, great character. I mean, he did a lot of good and he did a lot of bad. So
for the greater good.
For the greater good. For Voldemort and Valor.
For the greater good.
What say you?
Yeah.
We all know which way she's going, to be honest.
She's sitting beside me, so she best be careful.
I don't hate Dumbledore. I just want to
preface this. They was not head up to do with the question.
I want to preface this. Dumbledore is very similar to Snape, in my opinion.
I would agree. Two sides of the same coin.
They are very, very deep and complex characters.
Yes. Would you say they're sweaty as well?
I thought you were going to call them deep and sweaty, and I was like, oh.
They're deep and sweaty.
Deep and sweaty characters, yeah.
Oh, stop.
And I don't know if I'm confident enough to say that Dumbledore's a villain.
No.
But I definitely don't think he's a hero.
But he's more the hero side. Like, if you had a scale.
Yes. Here's the thing.
Yes.
He's more on
Dumbledore
the light
is, in my opinion, a little bit... how do I word this? Not self-absorbed, but like...
For the greater good.
He doesn't trust
I mean, honestly,
himself.
Like, the phrase "for the greater good" just, like, irks me to no end. And the fact that that is his focus, like always, he doesn't, in my opinion, he doesn't ever view Harry as a child.
But I think
he doesn't view Harry as an 11-year-old child that deserves an 11-year-old child's life.
I think he, though, he does it also to protect himself because of what happened with his sister.
I don't care.
Oh!
Answer.
He's kind of a villain.
We knew she was going that way.
But he's
not
like
shocked.
A Voldemort villain.
No.
But he's like not a great person. He's not a good person.
Oh.
But
so okay. Villain, hero. Sarah was over here. Hero side.
I wouldn't go 100% hero.
So Katie, she's like
Katie, where you? Katie, where were you?
I'm in the middle like I always am.
She's at my microphone.
She's Switzerland, always.
We're in the middle, Katie and I. We're so, like, right here, right? Because this is a hero.
Tiffany's, like, over by that tree.
Listen.
She's in Canada. That's how far she is.
She's all the way over in Canada. Over Lake Erie, Toronto area, maybe even further.
Yeah.
You guys see Chris Chandler over there?
Now, listen, I wouldn't go that far. However.
Dumbledore is her favorite character.
Are you ready? No, I'm just kidding. I won't go that far. We will get into his character profile, however, when we get to 7. So in a few years, right?
I can't wait.
Okay.
It's going to be like many episodes long.
We're going to argue. Like, what are we even arguing about?
We're going to argue about my main man, Dumbly. So I feel like I wouldn't necessarily label him hero. But
oh, you
I feel
wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't.
He's more hero-ish, in my opinion.
He does heroic things, but however... It may be a ruthless way to get to the end goal, but I feel like he's a man that did what he had to do. Mm-hmm. Now, whether it was acceptable and easy road, no. But it wouldn't have been any other way. And I'm a firm believer in fate.
Yeah.
And I feel like things happened the way that they needed to get to the end. Because in the end, what did we need? We needed Voldemort to
Well, and that's the
die.
Thing. You can
and
say...
And we got there. Was it ugly? Oh, goodness, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just feel for Harry.
Oh, my gosh.
You can feel for Harry. But
I
do. But you can also feel for my main man, Dumbly.
No.
Here's my thing.
She'll change her mind later because she used to say that she, you know...
hated Snape, and now she doesn't say
and
that.
And then she said she loved him. Did she not, Jess?
Three times.
That's right.
Ooh, three times.
I need to clarify that statement,
so,
though.
More heroic for me. Ooh,
I love how he's written.
The truth comes out.
Yeah, he is written very well.
I love how he's written. He's a great character.
She's such a little slithery snake right now.
But with Dumbledore, it's like the justify the means.
Yes, we're ready for the next question.
I got another question. You do? All right.
Somebody's got Nagini.
We've got 10 minutos left.
Oh, we have to end the podcast, too.
Oh, we have 10 minutes.
The ending will take a second.
So we can probably do a few more if we're quick.
Who is first?
Get in the line.
All right. So I need your name. Okay. And I need your question.
Okay.
Because we're running short on time.
Okay.
All right.
Make it quick. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Kylie.
Hi.
Hi. So you guys have talked briefly about mental health, kind of how it's portrayed in the wizarding world. So I just wondered if you could kind of like expand on mental health and how like kind of marginalized people have been in the wizarding world.
It's difficult for me, at least, to hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can get closer. So you guys have talked briefly about mental health in the wizarding world and how that's kind of, people were kind of marginalized and not really talked about, that kind of thing. So I wondered if you guys wanted to expand on your thoughts about that.
Do you have any character specific that you would like to discuss?
So maybe like the Longbottoms.
Okay.
Like treatment is... Or how characters are looked at. Trying to think specifically.
I can answer that.
Oh.
So the characters, any character who is deemed mentally unstable, I should say, is sent to a mental institution called St. Mungo's.
Gilderoy would know about this.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My medical personnel was here somewhere earlier. My doctor was. She left, but I
asked that because I am a therapist, and so I'm always looking for that, and I loved how you guys have talked about how the books have helped you, like, with in terms of mental health and others, and your and the stories that have been shared.
Are you talking about Potter stories?
Well, both. I mean, it's all the mental health.
Right.
Umbrella.
Okay.
Right. So on our podcast, people will write to us and they'll share how they got into Harry Potter, what house they're in, and all that. But they'll also tell us about how the series has helped them. Mm-hmm. And I think that the series does so much good.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, moved away from home and went to school, and I pretty much had no one. And going into a new city and going into a new school and starting college, like, I had Harry Potter, and that was my home. Mm-hmm. And that did make me feel better in times of anxiety and loneliness and sadness. So that's, like, my little snippet as far as mental health goes using the series.
I think that Katie probably can speak to this a lot, too.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm open about it on the podcast. I have a lot of anxiety. I think it should be talked about.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's not really talked about enough in
no,
the series, to be honest. Like, you can clearly see that there are things, you know, like the Longbottoms and Gilderoy even. And
just Neville, if you think about him. Just how all of that has affected him. Like, people don't. They don't touch on that. But we're also seeing it from Harry's point
of
view.
It's kind of kept hush-hush, which is not how it should be in the real world.
And we see how Neville acts, and I'm going to draw on this. Sorry, Snape people. But, like, when he goes into potions class.
I mean, he's just completely,
He performs dismally, I believe is his grade, or something of that nature. And it just, the way that Snape treats him as a child and teacher relationship is not healthy. And I think that that's something that, as a kid, sometimes you don't always recognize that an adult is not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think what this series can do is give kids a voice. You know,
oh,
kids
yeah.
have feelings, they're strong, and they need that voice too. And maybe mm-hmm. they can stand up for one another, because we do see Harry and Ron and Hermione standing up for him. Back to Katie. Sorry.
Yeah, Katie. they've done like studies on Potter where like
yeah.
Potter fans are just more open. So the yeah. fact that I can rely on these guys or rely on this book and this series to relieve my social anxiety and do something like this, or like, you know what I mean? It's insane. I don't know. It's just magic. It truly is just straight up magic.
Well, even to talk about our Facebook group, because we yes. are like crazy strict about any negativity, because let's be honest, there's a lot of
the last thing
negative things
in
the news and around the world, or just people's own personal lives. So we want to create the safest space where you can come and talk mm-hmm. about something that you love. And like, you know, there's people from all kinds of different backgrounds in our group. So that might, you might not have any of that in common, but you have a common interest in Harry Potter. So that's something that brings them all together. Mm-hmm. And literally, like, people are like, have said to us, they're like, I was in another Potter group and people were just so mean. And like, yeah. we will delete things.
I mean,
we like make sure
we're like,
nothing negative, because that's not what we're about.
I just and like also, have no problem. Yeah. Just nope, I think delete. I just made a post the other day, and it wasn't that like people were just teetering on the edge of maybe getting argumentative, not constructively. You can yeah. have debates.
Yeah.
All day long. But once you start like kind of like name calling and things, so I said, Mama Tiff says no, you're gone. And I have no qualms about doing it. And we even have another group.
Yeah, we have a secondary group associated with our group, because what's so amazing about like our community on Facebook is that the people have grown so close within the Swish and Flick podcast group that they wanted to talk about more than Potter together. And it was kind of this fine line of like, well, what do we allow in it? Because like, we don't want it to just become overrun with like personal posts. Yeah. But we also understand that these people have become legitimate friends, and they want to tell each other about all of these about good things that are happening, mm-hmm. or they want advice on maybe bad things that are happening. So we created this secondary group called Swisher Support, which has been like the best group ever. And mm-hmm. it's like, you can literally go in there and talk about absolutely anything. And without fail, there is someone in that group who's gone through it,
mm-hmm.
has words of wisdom to give you, calms you down from your anxiety. You know, yeah. I mean, anything.
It's yeah. not always people who maybe need a word of encouragement or anything. Sometimes people will just post something good that has happened in yes. their lives. And who can't use a little more good news in our yeah. world today? Yeah. You know what I mean? Especially on the internet.
It's a great way to, and I think the internet in this aspect can be great in the same way where, like, you know, you're having anxiety about something. Because I know Katie and I are the ones that are the anxious ones on the podcast. So it's nice to know that, like, there's things that I'm anxious about that other people are too, so it makes me feel yes. less alone that, like, I'm right. like, oh, you do it too? I'm like, let's just go be anxious together. Like,
woo-hoo. I mean, you think you're crazy when you yeah. first start feeling what you yeah. feel whenever, what age you're, you, is, yeah. you feel it, but, you know, then you meet other people, and you're like, oh, I'm not alone.
And then there, people be like, just don't be anxious. Like, oh, my gosh, I'm cured. right. And, yeah. like, we joke about
if
it now,
turn
and people
it
are like, oh, my gosh.
All right,
we
have
can
to
probably
on
have one more question.
One more question?
Yeah.
Okay, make it good. I need your name and the question.
that's a lot of pressure.
Hi, I'm Hannah, and I was wondering what you thought about Ariana being an obscurist.
Oh.
We like it a lot.
We yeah, like
it's
it
been a
lot.
Minute since I thought about that.
I'm 1,000% on board with that theory. I think it's true.
We yeah. have more theories on that as well.
We do. We have theories about Credence.
Yeah.
We have theories about...
Yeah. I think we're into it.
Yeah, I love that. I think that... it just completely fits. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of my favorite things that we came up with when we started talking about like when Fantastic Beasts started is that the series is called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And we're super focused on Credence, right? So
yes.
is Credence a human, or is he the beast that we are talking about? And I kind of think that Credence is the Fantastic
there?
Beast. In my opinion, that's I think the series is going to come full circle yeah. to. And it's going to completely talk about Ariana in that process. We're going to touch on Ariana being yeah. an Obscurus and how it's related to Credence. They talk about like a dark twin. Credence and Ariana somehow connected?
I also wonder if we're going to
find Ariana's Obscurus.
We have a minute left.
Are we going to find out who casts that curse? that ended Ariana. You know, is it Grindelwald?
No one really knew, right? Curses were flying everywhere.
Is it Dumbledore? Was it just Ariana herself? Did she just kind of like do that to herself? Which is possible. What?
We gotta end it.
No,
we
gotta go. But I love that. That was a
yes. It was a good question.
Thank you so much.
We are going to discuss it more.
I think you're right. Is what I'm saying.
All
right.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for those questions.
Yes. Where can we find us?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank
you guys so much. If you want to follow us on Facebook, we're Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook. Just search us. We have a group as well, Swish and Flick Podcast Group. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Swish Flick Cast, and also on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Swish and Flick Podcast. This entire podcast was live on YouTube, so like shout out to the people who couldn't be here. Thank you. Also, you can go to our website, which is just swishflickcast.com, and all of the information that I just told you is there as well, with links to go straight to where we are at.
Okay. Is that all for the greater good?
That's all.
Bleh. Okay. That concludes this live episode from Kent. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Thank you. Amazing! Just my voice! Can I say what I wanted to say?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
Live from Kent, it's Saturday day!
So sure. this is our first live podcast, isn't it?
Well, like a legitimate podcast, like yes.
Live. Okay. A real one.
With all right. Four of us also, yes.
But now Tiffany's going to legitimately start the episode like she usually does.
So and this is what happens.
You have the pleasure of being part of a regular podcast episode. This is going to go out on...
Today.
Tomorrow.
Podbean, tomorrow. iTunes, anywhere. Spotify, Google Play.
If it sounds like we're... a little formal, it's because we are. But once the discussion gets open, it's going to get a little more relaxed that way. But yeah. I hope you enjoy. So here we go.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.